All right, there are bookmarks right back there on that table if you want them. We have, I think, just a week left in Zephaniah and Joel. So you actually have time to get through both the books one time because they're just 3 chapters long. So if you haven't been reading yet, you can start right now and you'll just get through all of them one time. It'll be perfect. How's the reading been this week for you guys? Pretty good? All right, that's good. If you haven't been reading, keep it up. It's one of the main ways God talks to you. That's how you connect with God, and you kind of learn His will for you. And it's also just like it's how God talks to you. And also, if you haven't been reading, it's never too late to start. Don't feel bad if you haven't been reading that much, that's okay. You don't feel bad about that. But you can definitely start. There's bookmarks right there. It has kind of the days in the back, it has the days of the month on the back, and then the reading for that day. Okay, so we've been talking about, we can go through these two books, Joel and Zephaniah. They're both prophets that, back before Jesus came, way back in the day, and both of these books tell basically the same story. And what a prophet is basically God's messenger. It's basically someone who tells people what God's will is and what his message is, basically. So that's what these two guys did. They did it at two different times. But their story was almost the same in each case. And basically what the story was that God's people, the Israelites, had turned away from God, and they were not following him, not really respecting him or loving him. And as a result of that, he said he was going to bring countries and nations, other nations, to come and punish them, and basically wipe them out is what he said. But then he said later on, then it said that when this happened, that God's people would turn back to him, and they would realize basically what was going on, and they would see God for what he was, and they would turn back to him, and they would repent. And when that happened, God said he was going to forgive them for what they had done, and then he would bless them. And this is one place, like all the damage, all the years of lost crops that they had, he would make up for, and he would bless them with that again. And it says he also would bless, or would even punish the nations that he had brought in the first place to punish them. So what we really see from this is basically what we want to look at is basically how we relate to God, how we see we can relate to God through this. And what the people back then, their relationship with God was a little different than ours right now. Theirs was based on basically if they obeyed God and if they followed the law that he had given them, they would be his people and he would bless them. And it's a little different for us now. There's not like the literal killings and the literal, punishment and destroying of nations that happened back then. Now it's a little bit different now for us. Now how it works is we can have peace with God and relationship with him. That's how it works for us. We don't have to obey a certain set of laws and rules in order to have his blessing. And the blessing that we do receive when we do have a relationship with God is that he gives us new life inside of us and a relationship with him. And someday we're actually going to be in heaven and be with God. So we basically saw from the first set message was that when we really see what God is, that he's all powerful and he's all forgiving and completely fair when we need to be punished, he shows that to us. And then, he forgives us for our sins and he wants to have a relationship with us, is that we can love him and respect him and fear him and really see God for what he really is. And then we talked about how when we see what God really is and how much he really hates sin, and that's why he was punishing them in the first place for our lives, it makes us want to run away from that sin because we see how important it is to God. And then the next week we talked about how that's only really half of the equation with repentance. Repentance is running away from sin, but it's also running to God. Because ultimately, anything that we do in life that would be considered a sin is basically trying to satisfy ourselves and fulfill ourselves in something that's not God. And really, God's the only one who can fulfill us. And so it's kind of, so that's the second part of it, is really seeing what is the real fulfillment in life. Okay, so when we see this, so that's what we've learned so far in the month. That's kind of what we've been looking at in these two books. When we see this, what we kind of take a step back and think about this is, wow, if this is all true, there's a lot of people around us, there's a lot of people around me that's really bad news for, actually. Because if God is really what he says he is, if he's really all-powerful and he expects certain things from us, there's a lot of people in trouble that don't know God and don't have a relationship with him. Because basically when we think about the truths of God, that there is a heaven and there is a hell, and there is, you know, there is sin and there is punishment. That's not all there is that's true about God, but that is, you know, that's kind of some of the things that come to my mind. There's those pieces. And when I sin, I deserve to be punished. And the punishment for that is hell. And the only way that I'm not going to go to hell is to have a relationship with God and to love him and seek him. And so where that leaves us, basically, is there's a lot of people in my life that I know. There's a lot of people that each of us, we all know, that aren't really heading to a good place after they die. And so why don't we, you know, and if we know this, and if we know how we can have a relationship with God, and how these people can have a fulfilled life, and a life that is, I mean, it's really going to stand for something and be worth something after they die. If we know this, but we don't really say anything to them, why don't we do that, you know? I think a lot of times it's just because, at least in my experience, it's been because, you know, I'm kind of timid. And in person, I am kind of timid. I don't like confrontation or, like, you know, conflict with people. And so confronting somebody with that, or bringing stuff up with somebody where it might be like, you know, I don't know how they're going to take this, so it's easy for me just to avoid it, you know? I might think, you know, I'm just not a very outspoken person. It's not really my thing. There's other people out there who are better at this, you know, and it's for them, and I'm going to let them basically take care of it. I'm going to let, you know, pastors and preachers take care of it, because that's what they do. And that's things I've thought, you know, too. It's like, you know, maybe I'll just get them to somebody who can help them, because, you know, that's just not really my thing, you know? Does this connect with you guys? Have you ever thought of these things? Like, there's people in your life that you care about, but it's just, you feel like it's just never the right time to talk to them. There's always going to be a better time. You don't want it to make it awkward. I think that's something we all feel, because we all know there's people around our lives that we love, and we want what is best for them, and part of what is best for them is knowing God. And so basically, we feel this guilt for people around us that don't know God. And, you know, we're around them, and we feel this way, remember it, and we feel bad for a couple of days, and then we kind of forget, and we just kind of go on with life. No big deal, you know. And then we remember again, we feel bad again. But nothing really changes, you know. Nothing really gets done. And that's... So, like, the answer to that is not just feeling more guilt, you know, just feeling... you know, feel worse about it, and then maybe you'll do something about it. That's not really the answer to it. So we kind of want to look at what it talks about in these two prophets. We want to look at them, and in their story, we can kind of see what some of the answer might be. So here's the big idea, is that if you're a follower of Christ, at the same time, you are God's messenger, which basically that's what a prophet is. It's God's messenger. So if you decide you want to follow Christ, and if you consider yourself a follower of Christ, along with that comes the responsibility to share that with other people. If you look at the beginning of these two books, so Joel chapter 1, verse 1, it's the very beginning of it. It says, "The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel." So he's saying, this is what the rest of the book is about. It's basically the word of God that came to Joel and he told other people. And then Zephaniah chapter 1 sounds almost the same. It's worded a little different, but it's about the same. It says, "The word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushi." And then it follows with the rest of what he said. So in each case, we see these two books are basically God's word coming through these two men to God's people. So that's the beginning. That's how they both start. But then the rest of the books are full of, like I was saying earlier, they're full of things that I don't think a lot of us who personally want to be telling people. Think about this. If God told you, basically tell Lincoln everything that these people were supposed to tell the Israelites. How would you feel if you had this calling from God to, God spoke to you and said, tell everyone in Lincoln that they're sinning, they're turned away from me, and as a result of that, I'm going to punish them, I'm going to wipe out everything they have, all the industry, all the jobs are going to be lost, and I'm going to punish them. How would you guys, what would be your instinct when you heard you had to tell somebody that? You don't want to do it, because nobody wants to tell somebody that they're doing something wrong. Like, when people criticize me, my natural tendency is to get really defensive and not happy about it at all, you know? And that's how I think everyone is when you criticize them, they get mad. So if you tell somebody they're doing something wrong and they're not living how God wants them to, their natural tendency is to get mad. And that's what I do too when people point it out. That's my natural thing inside of me. So when people tell... So if you're going to tell everyone in Lincoln, you know, you're not living the way God wants you to, and he's going to punish you, that's basically what these people were going to tell the Israelites. Is it was like they were the only person that was still listening to God, and everyone else was turning against them. Everyone else was had turned away from God, so they're like the last person, and they had to tell everyone this stuff. And when I think about that, it's just like, wow, what would motivate these people to do that? Because I don't understand naturally why, like, I don't have what it would take, I don't think, to tell people this, you know, to tell a whole nation, you're screwing up and God's going to punish you. I think it probably would kill me, you know. But what it kind of comes down to is, who did they fear more? Okay, so let's say the Israelites did get mad at them and they were angry and they killed them. There's a place in where Jesus says to fear the person who, or don't fear the person who can kill you, but then after that, like after you're dead, they can't do anything to your soul. Instead, fear the person who can kill your body and after you're dead can send your soul to hell, which he's meaning God. What he's saying is don't fear man, because don't fear other humans, because all they can do is kill your body. Fear God, because after you die, he can take your soul and he can put it in hell or he can put it in heaven. He's the one that ultimately has control. He's the one that has the power. And I think that is a big piece of why these two men were able to speak the way they did to God's people, is because they understood who really was in control and who had the power, and they feared God instead of men. I think that's what it boils down to for us too. Also, there's another verse I want to look at. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 or 7. Second Timothy chapter 1 in there. Okay, cool. Yep, cool. I don't know if it would be in there for sure. Okay, it says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." So the first thing he says is God, you know, when you decide to follow Christ, you're made new in God. He gives you a new insight, basically, a new spirit, a new life in God. And he says that spirit that he gave you, it's not a timid or scared spirit, you know, it's not just going to go cowering away. Instead, it's a spirit of boldness and power. And I think that's why these men were able to do what they did, is because they had the spirit of boldness in them that was from God. And I think ultimately, if we're going to be able to do anything even close to that, or anything that God asks us to do in our life, we have to understand that. So think about for your life, some examples of things you might do. Maybe you're going to ask somebody you know, a friend of yours that you care about, if they want to do the study, with the peace study. And I don't know if you guys have seen, you probably have, but there are three things you can do. We have the Peace with God study book. It's like a really short book that you would sit down with somebody, and I think there's 6 chapters. Let me check real quick. Yeah, there's 6 chapters. So basically what you do is you meet with somebody 6 times, maybe like once a week or something like that, and you would just read through the chapter, and it would kind of walk you through. The point of the book is to walk you through how you go from not having a relationship with God, not having peace with God, to knowing God and knowing what a relationship with God is about and how you actually get there, how you get a relationship with God. So there's that, and this is like a really condensed version of it. And then we also have it on DVD. So it's 3 different ways, just so you know, like, there's, when you get to the point where you are going to ask somebody, it's pretty simple. You just say, hey, you can just, if you want to watch a DVD with me, it's like, it might be like 30 minutes, you know, you could watch 30 minutes and you can talk about it a little bit afterwards. That's pretty much all it is. But anyway, so some examples of things that we might be called to do. So you might be saying, okay, I need to study, somebody in my life needs to know basically how they get to a relationship with God. So you could ask them if they want to study that, or inviting somebody to church, or maybe you have, you know, somebody who already is a follower of Christ, but there's like another step that they need to take, you know, there's something in their life that maybe they don't really see yet, and you're farther down the path, and you see, okay, that's a step that I took, and that was a big step for me, and there's something in their life that I need to encourage them in, or guide them in a way that's going to bring them closer to God. So there's different things that we might be called to do like that. People around us that we care about, but naturally and instinctively, we're probably not going to say anything if we're just basing it on our own selves. Instead, basically, this has to come through God's Spirit in us. That is what's going to speak through us. And it's kind of interesting because I was talking about the spirit of power and 2 Timothy talks about that we would have. And it's kind of weird because before you actually say something, you probably aren't going to feel this. You're not going to feel that. But it's like once you start doing something, once you start either that conversation with somebody, as soon as you start it, that's like God kind of takes over from there. It's like you just say the first word almost, and like the hardest part is saying the first word. And after that, God takes over from there. Okay, so who? These two prophets were sent to the Israelites, to God's people. So we're saying we are basically prophets or messengers to people or to other people. Who are we sent to? Okay, so if anyone who is a follower of Christ is also a messenger, God's messenger, who are they a messenger to? What? Okay. No, just think, what do you think? I mean, okay. Any other ideas? But who? Yeah, it would be to people. You said us, so that is people. I'm sorry, what were you saying? Okay, yeah. But it'd be basically anyone in your life, like you're saying, there were a lot of, like, correct answers, just so you know. But it's basically anyone in your life that doesn't know Christ already, that's who you're sent to. If there's somebody you know or somebody at school that you know at school or at work, that you spend, you know, if you have a job and you're working somewhere, you're spending several hours of your week there with people, and they're kind of put there for a reason. Same thing with school. When you're in school, you're spending a lot of time around a lot of the same people. If you play soccer on a soccer team or have another sport you play, you're spending a lot of time with the same people, or just your friends you hang out with. It's the same situation. You're spending a lot of time with people, and chances are not all these people know God already. Not all these people have a relationship with God. And so these are the people that we are each sent to. And maybe God's going to call you, or maybe God is calling you now, or maybe in the future he's going to call you somewhere else, even to another country. That's what we kind of naturally think of as like a missionary, is that we're called to another country, you know, if you're a missionary. But really, we should all be—we are all missionaries called to the people right around us right now. And I think each of the people that are in our life right now, that don't know God right now, that we do know, God's put them there for a reason. It's probably so that you can tell them, so you can be the one that plants that seed inside of them about God. Okay, so. If you were going to talk to somebody, what would basically the message be that you would, what's the main points that you would want to get across? What does somebody need to know about God? So who he is? Okay, that's the first piece, basically who is God. What's another thing that somebody would need to know? Because ultimately, the goal would be for them to be able to know God and have a relationship with him, right? So what do they need to know in order for that to happen? Okay, can you be a little more specific? Okay, that is true. So basically you would say currently, if they don't have a relationship with God, where would they be in that? Okay, and then what would... So could talk me through, like, if you were going to tell me, if I didn't know anything about God, what would you tell me? What's the important stuff? Okay, but before that, I mean, those are good things. Okay, here it is. There's kind of, there's things that, there's like the first things, that, there's like the first steps, I guess. And then there's things that come as a result of that, okay? So the first thing is basically entering into a relationship with God and having peace with God, right? And knowing Him and being saved. That's the first piece. And then as a result of that, there should be things that happen later on that you can, there should be actions that accompany that, basically. So I'm going to kind of divide them up and kind of show you. The first things that people need to know, basically, is who God is. That is true. They need to know who God is and that He is all-powerful and He created them and He created the world. And then that none of us are perfect people. We've all sinned. I think we all know that, you know? And because of our sin, we deserve to be punished and we deserve to die and go to hell. But Jesus came so that, and died so that that wouldn't actually be the reality. So that instead of being punished for our sin, He took our punishment so that we could know God and we could be forgiven of our sin. Someday go to heaven and spend the rest of our eternity with God, worshiping Him and having a relationship, the most fulfilling relationship that we could ever imagine. That's kind of the first step. And then how do they actually do that? You know, like you were saying, they repent and they baptize and they enter in that relationship and they're born again in Christ. And then, so what comes after that? Some of the things that would come after that are, you know, they would read the Bible because they would want to get closer to God, and they would come to church to, you know, be with other Christians and be encouraged. But that's not the main message. The main message is that we're all sinners and God came so we could know Him and we could have a relationship with Him. It's not, okay, so that's what we want people to understand, is you can know God and have a relationship with Him. So I kind of hit on this a little bit just now, but what we don't need to tell people necessarily at first is, you know, basically they need to be a better person, they need to stop sinning, they need to come to church. That's not really all that important, to be honest. It is, once you know God, yeah, that is going to help you get closer to God, but it's not going to necessarily help you. It's not essential for making your first steps in having a relationship with God. Does that make sense? Does it not make sense to somebody? And if it doesn't, it's okay, because I kind of butchered it, so I'll just say it again. So if it doesn't make sense, it's okay, you don't feel bad. Is there anything that is not clear with that? Okay. So what we don't need to tell people is basically to change their life before they have changed their heart and before they've become a child of God. Let me give you a quick example. Let's say somebody smokes pot and, you know, we think, okay, a Christian probably shouldn't smoke pot, right? What is the benefit in them not smoking pot before they know Christ? What? They might take away some of the guilt. But ultimately, if someone smokes pot, if they don't have a relationship with God and they smoke pot or they don't, it doesn't matter. It honestly just doesn't really matter. That's not what's important for them right then. They might feel better, and they might feel, like you're saying, they might not feel as guilty afterwards, but that doesn't change their relationship with God and the fact that either way, there are other sins in their life, and they deserve to be punished still. So the main push shouldn't be to make people who don't know God act like people who do. So they're just acting like it, and they just seem like they are different people, when they're really not different on the inside. There's no benefit for them. They might not feel as bad as much of the time, but when it boils down to it, it's not going to change anything for them. Okay, so there's different places in the New Testament where it refers to Jesus as a prophet. I'm going to ask you guys, how does Jesus resemble a prophet, or how was he a prophet? Okay, and what did he tell him? Basically God's message, right? Okay, and so Jesus was basically the ultimate prophet because he was bringing us God's message, but he was God, so he was coming like straight from God almost. No, it really was coming straight from God. So Jesus is kind of our ultimate example in what we should try to be like. And in fact, there were several times where people tried to kill him throughout his life when he was teaching because of what he was telling them. And ultimately what happened to Jesus as a result of what he was saying to them. This is pretty simple. What happened to Jesus at the end? Exactly. And the reason he died is because people didn't like what he was saying. There were a lot of people who like I was saying earlier, when you tell somebody they're doing something that's wrong or that they're not doing something they should be doing, they don't like it. And that's what happened with Jesus. The people that he was talking to didn't like it, and they ended up killing him. But Jesus still did what he needed to, and I guess let me ask another question. What would have happened if he hadn't done that? If he had said, ooh, people don't like what I'm saying, I'm just gonna not tell them things that they don't like. Well, where would we be if Jesus hadn't done that? Well, probably not right now, but eventually. I mean, but none of us would ever have a relationship with God. None of us would be saved and be able to know God and know and have like a reason for our life and be fulfilled in our life. Because if Jesus wouldn't have started that process, none of us would be here right now. I don't know, we'd probably be outside somewhere. But like we wouldn't know, like you know, like there would be no relationship with God for anyone, and there would be no reason for life. In John it talks about, and actually John is the book we're gonna read next month. In John it talks about how at the beginning of the book, it talks about Jesus summoning. It refers to him. A word that uses to describe Jesus is the Word. Which at first, when you think, okay, why is it called Jesus the Word? It doesn't really make sense. But we think about that he was basically God's words to man, then it kind of makes sense because that's what Jesus was. He was God's words to us. And it says he was full of grace and truth. So he spoke the truth to us in the same way we should be speaking the truth to other people. And he did it in a very gracious way, in a way that wasn't like in your face about it, you know? He was very gracious in the way he told the truth to people. And that kind of leads into the next point, is that to tell people about God and to present that message to people, you don't have to be weird. And you don't have to say like weird words that they say in church or that they say in the Bible, like hallelujah and stuff all the time, you know? You don't have to change the way you talk to people. And you don't have to be like a salesman, like trying to push people into knowing God, and always, whenever you're hanging out with your friends, always throw it in their face that they don't know God and trying to push it on them. It should be who you are, and it should be part of your life, and so it should just basically flow out from that. So whenever you hang out with people, when you're hanging out with your friends, you're hanging out with them because they're your friends, you know? That's why you're hanging out with them. But part of that is also that you realize maybe they don't know God, and I'm possibly the only way they are going to know God. The only way they're going to see God is through me, through what I tell them. So how do you do that? How do you actually do that is think about the people in your life. Okay, last week we talked about running towards God means basically spending time with Him and seeking Him. One of those things we talked about was prayer. Praying more, spending time talking to God. And we're talk about that again in the sense that it does help you grow closer to God, but also what do you pray for, I guess? And one of the things I want to challenge you guys to pray for is the people in your life right now. Pray for the people that you care about. If there's somebody you don't care about, well, still pray for them, but yeah, I forgot I said that comment, but pray for people in your life, I guess, whether you care for them or not. If they don't know God, pray for them. Because God loves him just as much as he loves you, and he died for that reason. And have genuine relationships with people. And, you know, spend your life with people. That's what we're made to do, is is spend our life with other people and have relationships with them, but know that the reason for that is to, is helping to know God better. And the result of that is that you will see people in your life that you care about come to know God and repent from their sin and see what the real reason for life is that to know God, and help others know that too. And ultimately through that, God is glorified because if we make God seem important to people, if we show that that's what is important to us, it shows that God is amazing and he's magnificent and that's what he is. Okay. So now kind of the next step, what's kind of before each of us? What's kind of the next step for you to do after hearing this? First thing, if you don't have a relationship with God yet and you haven't decided to follow him, you're probably thinking, obviously this is what the message is about, you know, it's helping people do that. And you're right, that is what it's about. So if you don't know God yet, you can. And it's not just, I mean, it is knowing God, but it's also, it's having a life that is fulfilled and having, like, a reason for your life. If you think about other people in your life that, you know, that you think they need to know God too, they probably do, but you can't help them get there until you're there first. You can't take anyone where you haven't been. So the first step for you is to make a decision to follow Christ and understand that God loves you and He cares for you. He has a purpose for your life. It's not just to spend your life, you know, working and going to school and then someday getting old and dying. That is going to happen, but there's a lot bigger purpose for your life, and that is to help other people know God and to spend your whole life in a relationship with God, so when you die, you have something that is meaningful at the end of it. And that's why Jesus came. That's why we're all here, is to know God. So if you're thinking, you know, that does describe me, that's where I'm at right now, you can enter in a relationship with God right now. You can do that tonight. Just talk to me, talk to one of your friends, you know, here, talk to Phil. You can decide to repent and to be baptized tonight if you want to. If you have already done that, basically realize that you are now God's messenger, and you are God's missionary to the people in your life right now. Sure, but baptism is basically when, if you want to enter in a relationship with God and have peace with him, and you understand kind of the gap between you and God. Well, basically, I'll read a verse for you real quick. In Acts 2, basically some people were asking the same thing as, what do, you know? And he says, when people heard this, they were cut to the heart, so, you know, they felt it inside. And he said, brothers, what do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And what really happens when you're baptized is you're born again. It's like spiritually on the inside, you're born and you're a new person. So really that only happens one time. There's one time where you go from being who you are when you came out of your mother's womb and you were, you know, that person, and when you transfer into becoming a child of God. That only happens one time. So can you get in water twice? Yeah. But is that going to happen? Are you going to be born into God more than once? No. Okay. You can, if you were born in Christ one time, and then you, maybe during your life, you kind of drift away from God and you turn away from that, you can come back to God, and you can definitely come back to God, but do you have to be baptized again? No. If you want to, I guess you can be, but you don't have to be, basically. Okay, one last thing before we go. It's kind of an example in Acts chapter 20, verse 17 through 27. So this is Paul talking to some people that he had taught. He says, now from Miletus, let me see, chapter 20, yep. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I suffered in Asia, serving the Lord with humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you everything that was profitable and teaching you in a public from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to Greeks of the repentance toward God and the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. So what he's saying is he's going to be, he called the other people he had taught in this one place, in this one city, and he said, you know, I'm leaving now, I'm going to go back to Jerusalem, and I don't know what's going to happen to me, I'm probably going to die. I think he was either going to go to Rome or Jerusalem. He said, basically, I'm leaving, and probably I'm going to die, I'm never going to see you again. And he said, but I've taught you all, you know, that like, the whole time I was here, I was open, I was teaching you guys, and I'm not guilty, or I'm innocent. He said he's innocent of all of any of their blood. And basically, what he's saying is, I did my part. I was open, and I shared, and I did everything in my power to teach you guys. I didn't hold anything back from you guys. There's no one who I didn't talk to because I was timid, or because I didn't want to, or because I was scared. And as a result of that, it's up to you now. It's up to you guys to choose. And I think that should be our goal, is that when we, you know, when you graduate from high school, or when you, you know, you leave a job that you're at, is that you look back and say, all those people that I spent time with, or even your friends, maybe you move to another city and you say, all those friends that I had, all those people, I'm innocent of what happens to them in eternity because I laid it all out. I told them about God. I told them, they know. It's up to them now. It's not up to me. It's not because I held back. I didn't tell them God's word. I mean, man, wouldn't that be cool to just know that everyone in your life that you had contact with, you told, and they knew, and it wasn't up to you because you didn't tell them. They knew, and it was up to them to then choose if they want to follow God or not. So think about your next step. Where are you at? Do you need to decide to follow Christ, or do you need to say, you know, there's people in my life, and I'm going to be a missionary to them? So now we're going to go back and have communion. Spend some time just kind of talking to God, take the bread and the juice, just kind of remember what Jesus did. He gave his body and his blood for you so that you could know him. So let's pray now. Joy, thank you for today, and the fact that you've given us the ability to share your word, and the fact that you came and told us to begin with, and that somebody told us then about you. And I pray that you would put on our hearts just make us uncomfortable until we speak to people in our life. I pray that you would give us the strength that we need to do it, and draw each of us closer to you, and help us to see that, you know, living for you and the life that you offer is the only way to really be fulfilled, and the only true life. And so you need me to pray. Amen. So if you want to bookmark.